speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The first five verses in this passage from Matthew's Gospel that we've just heard always caused a problem for me, probably since my teens. It may not be a problem for you at all, but I'd like to explain where my difficulties came from. First of all, my understanding of my calling as a Christian is that I should become like Jesus. The term Christian means little Christ, and however imperfectly, I am called to grow more and more like a small copy of Jesus. The way I should do that is to learn more about Jesus himself and listen to his teaching, both to be achieved by reading the Bible. So when I read this passage, I should be learning something that will help me to become more like Jesus. When I read the examples of how to behave, it looks as though I should be a very kind person, giving in to others even in unreasonable circumstances. Now maybe that was a problem to me because I really loathe unfairness of any kind. Maybe because I'm just a stubborn person. However, we're told that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which says to me that he is consistent throughout time. Surely then his teaching will be consistent with his character and will guide me to having the same character myself. Everything I see of Jesus speaks of strength under perfect control, which is one definition of meekness. None of this, the meek shall inherit the earth, if it's okay with the rest of you, type of meekness. Jesus has the self-control to fast for 40 days in order to make sure he is starting on the right kind of ministry. Jesus has the authority to drive out demons, heal diseases, raise the dead, still storms, walk on water, feed the multitude. He tells his disciples he has come not to bring peace, but a sword. He speaks out against those who rejected him at Nazareth. He answers the Pharisees when they accuse him of breaking the law, rather than just apologizing in a weak way. He overturns the tables in the temple, rather than just accepting what was going on, or maybe inviting the merchants to build bigger stalls. And when it comes to teaching the disciples, he tells them to expect persecution and to expect to be given the words to speak in response. He doesn't tell them to accept what is happening without saying anything. He tells them to move town to avoid being persecuted, rather than sticking around to await the inevitable. He challenges them to choose to deny themselves and take up their cross, being prepared to lay down their lives. But this is phrased as a strong choice, not a giving in to the inevitable, or asking to be crucified when they were only offered a beating. So when I read these first verses of today's passage, they troubled me. They didn't make sense to me. They looked as though I was being asked to be weak and submissive and not a lot of use at all. I use the past tense here because I am no longer troubled by this section of the Gospel. In case you're beginning to cheer because you think I have at last seen sense, stop being stroppy and learnt to toe the line, I have to tell you that you're premature in your celebrations. However, I would like to tell you what really has changed my approach to this. About 5 years ago, I attended a one-year course for people who wanted to learn more about their faith. We had many different people lecturing us on all aspects of Christianity. One of those people was Stuart Murray Williams. He is part of the Anabaptist Network and is an author and consultant to local churches on church planting and urban mission. He has lectured at Spurgeon's College in the past and travels around the world lecturing. On my course, he taught us what these examples that Jesus gives about retaliation really mean if you interpret them in the light of the culture in which they were given. I would like to share those insights with you now. I make no claim that the scholarship is mine. Let's take the first one. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer him the other cheek also. To understand this, you need to do a bit of imagining. Imagine that you are standing opposite someone. their right hand will be facing your left cheek. What Jesus is thinking of is the situation of a superior striking an inferior. When doing this, the back of the hand is used. It would always be the right hand, as traditionally the left hand was only used for dirty things. So if you are standing opposite someone and they strike you with the back of their right hand, they will automatically hit you on the right cheek. Jesus says, offer your other cheek. In order to hit your left cheek, the assailant has a choice to make. He can hit it with the palm of the hand, but that indicates that you are his equal, as the palm was only used to hit equals. Alternatively, he can move around behind you in order to use the back of his hand. But then you have forced him to move, making you the superior. Either way, you will have risen above the position of inferior by the simple action of submissively offering the other cheek. Alternatively, of course, he can refuse the offer and walk away in confusion. In the second example, if a person sues for someone's tunic, they are to give their cloak as well. The coat or tunic was the garment worn next to the skin. The cloak was worn over it, and for the poor it acted as a blanket at night time. There were no other garments worn. So you are sued for your tunic and give your cloak as well. By so doing, you leave yourself naked. In Jewish culture, being naked was not shameful, but looking on nakedness was. By offering more than you were asked for, in that culture you would have caused shame to the one who sued you and looked on your nakedness. In the third example, you are told that if forced to walk 1 mile, go a second. The situation at that time was that a Roman soldier could force a member of the population to carry his pack for 1 mile and 1 mile only. Jesus says that if forced to walk the 1 mile, carry on and complete another. An act of generosity, you may think. However, if you continued to walk beyond the mile and the soldier let you, he would be subject to discipline by his superiors for breaking a rule. In order to stop you, he would have to run after you and take the pack off you, which would be undignified. Either way, you would be in control. Stuart showed us that Jesus wants us to find a way to bring about changes in the behavior of others, to help kingdom values to be applied, without attacking or being angry or unreasonable. Also, we are not to be weak and compliant if things are wrong and need challenging. We are called to change the world, to be salt and light. This approach fits well with the earlier part of the chapter, where Jesus urges us to look at the principles of the law and not the many tiny rules. It's a much more difficult approach to living, as it requires thought rather than mindless following of rules. But looking at the principles, it's possible to see how to apply this teaching to our current lives, something I could never work out in the past, as I didn't anticipate being slapped, sued for my tunic, or carrying a soldier's pack. Stuart gave us an example from modern times. He told of a man who worked in a company where the boss had a habit of going to every person's desk on a Monday morning and giving the individual a pep talk for the week. In order to do this, he came very close to the person he was talking to. The recipients of this hated it, but were at a loss as to what they could do. Then one man applied the principles that Jesus taught. The next Monday, when the boss leant close to give his customary talk, the man moved across the small distance between them and gave the boss a kiss. The pep talks stopped from then on. I've shared these insights from Stuart with other people before, and sometimes they disagree with me and say we should just read the guidelines that Jesus gives on face value. I accept that you have the right to disagree with me. We're each called to read and learn for ourselves. However, for me, this way of looking at Jesus' teaching makes so much sense. Here I see the razor-sharp intelligence of the one who, when asked to condemn a woman caught in adultery, invited the one without sin to throw the first stone. Who, when asked if it was lawful to pay taxes, asked for a coin which bore Caesar's head, and told the people to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. This Jesus is consistent. This Jesus is the one I want to follow. This Jesus is the one I want to be like.